The title of my sermon this morning is Pants on Women. Pants on Women. Now, when you preach a subject like this, a lot of people are going to think, hey, this is outdated. Don't you know it's 2020? What are you talking about? You're crazy. You're fanatic. You're the Taliban. You know, these are the kind of reactions that I've gotten over the years preaching on this subject. But I want you to approach the sermon this morning with an open mind and see what the Bible has to say about this subject. Instead of just having an emotional reaction or getting upset, actually listen to what the Bible has to say on this subject. Now, I want to start out in this important verse in Deuteronomy 22:5, where the Bible reads, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." This is obviously something that God feels strongly about. When he talks about an abomination, it means it's something that he hates. So this is something that is very serious in God's sight, that he does not want men to put on women's clothing, and he does not want women to put on men's clothing. Now, when it comes to men putting on women's clothing, you never really get any argument from anybody. Everybody pretty much agrees that I should not wear a dress or that I should not put on a skirt. In fact, there's only one garment that would be deemed acceptable for me to wear. I'll prove it to you because I'm 39 years old, so I've existed as a man, as a boy before that, for over 14,000 days. I have woken up and put on a pair of pants well over 14,000 times. In fact, there has not been a day of my entire life that I did not don a pair of pants. Because we could also classify shorts as pants. They're just short pants. And over 14,000 times, I have put on pants. And not one of those days did I put on something other than pants. Does everybody understand? And how many men would say, I have that same testimony, Pastor Anderson. I have put on pants every single day of my life. So why would there be confusion about what a man's garment is when we all wore it every single day and there was no other? It wasn't like, should I wear pants or there wasn't another choice. The only choice is, am I going to wear short pants or long pants? That was the choice that we've made throughout our lives. Now, if you're further confused about what is a men's garment and what is a women's garment, look at the bathroom door. The universal sign for a man and woman on the bathroom door is a stick figure of a dude in pants and a stick figure of a woman in a skirt. Okay? Everyone would agree that if a man were walking down the street in a skirt or in a dress, they would say, this man is cross-dressed, this man is in drag, this man is wearing a woman's garment. But then when you flip it over and say, okay, well, women shouldn't wear pants because that's the man's garment, they're like, whoa, what are you talking about, buddy? According to our world today, men can't wear women's clothing, but women can wear any kind of men's clothing that they want. That's basically the standard that we have in our day. They want to apply half of this verse. I want to apply the whole verse. Instead of just saying, men don't wear women's clothing, I'm going to say, women don't wear men's clothing. And you're like, well, I don't think that's pants. Then what is it? There is no other garment that is exclusive to men. It doesn't exist. Okay. Now, you say, well, there's men's pants and women's pants. Okay, well, why don't I get a men's skirt and a men's dress? And look, my wife and I, we were visiting somewhere one time on vacation, and we saw this biker dude show up in like a jean skirt with chains all over it and leather, and it was a very manly skirt. But I didn't look at that and say, well, no problem. It's a men's garment. I looked at it as like, this guy is dressing in the wrong gender's clothing. Okay. So that is not a legitimate argument to just say, well, there's women's pants. And here's the thing. What's the difference between men's pants and women's pants? The difference with women's pants is just that they're tighter, more form-fitting, and more revealing. Well, guess what? That's not something that pleases the Lord either, because we're supposed to be dressed in modest apparel, so the snug-fitting, form-fitting clothing that's showing every curve of your body, guess what? That's not appropriate clothing either, okay? So God wants women to wear women's clothing and men to wear men's clothing. Flip over if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Another objection you hear is, oh, well, that's Deuteronomy. That's the Old Testament. You're trying to bring us under the law. We're free in Christ. But hold on a second. I'm going to prove to you that God's opinion about this subject has not changed in the New Testament. And we can't just throw out the entire Old Testament, folks. Jesus Christ's death on the cross changed some things about the rules that govern us, but the Bible is very specific about what those changes are. You know, for example, in the New Testament, we're not doing the Levitical priesthood, we're not doing animal sacrifices, we're not doing the tabernacle, we're not doing a meat offering and a drink offering. The Bible's really clear about those things, about the Sabbath, and about the holidays, and the new moons, and the feast days, that those things are done away in Christ. But does anyone truly believe that Jesus died on the cross to open up a brand new era of gender uniformity, where there's no more gender and we all dress the same, we all wear a space jumpsuit? No. So the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the bringing in of a new covenant has nothing to do with men and women's clothing. If God said in the Old Testament that it's an abomination to wear women's clothing as a man or vice versa, he didn't change his mind about that. And here's the proof he didn't change his mind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Look, if God's saying in the New Testament, men need to have short hair and women need to have long hair, obviously he still wants the genders to look clearly different. And let me tell you something. It should be that I can look at somebody from 200 feet away and know whether they're a man or a woman. Because I could look at their hair and I could look at their clothing. Those are the two things I could look at and instantly know, am I dealing with a man or am I dealing with a woman? But yet today, I could be 2 inches from somebody and not be able to know whether I'm dealing with a man or a woman. And you're constantly making mistakes and misidentifying people. You know, it's ma'am or whatever. And, you know, you can't figure out what you're dealing with. And we are living in a messed up, gender-confused society. And God wants, this is point one. I have 5 points this morning. Point number one is that God wants men and women to look differently. We don't want to just go by the letter of the law. We want to go by the spirit of the law. What is the spirit of the law? Why would God say, don't put on a woman's garment? Because he wants men to look like men and women to look like women. That's the spirit behind that law. We should follow both the letter of the law and also the spirit of the law. Okay, so God doesn't want them to look the same. Now here's the thing. If you're going to tell me it's okay for women to wear pants, then basically my wife and I could dress exactly the same. Because we could both put on a pair of jeans, we could both put on a t-shirt, we could both put on a pair of tennis shoes, and we'd be dressed identical, and we'd both be in compliance with your standard. Because your standard says t-shirts are fine for both, pants are fine for both, sneakers are fine for both. Then basically you'd have men and women dressed exactly the same, and that's what we see today out in the world. Whereas what I'm saying is that in order for the Bible to make any sense, when it says neither the woman should not wear that which pertains to a man, there has to be some garment that pertains to a man, or that commandment would make no sense. And the spirit of the law is different clothing for men and women, to where my wife and I don't dress the same. We shouldn't have the same length hair, and we shouldn't be dressed the same. There should be a difference between men and women. And then people will say, well, how short is short, or how long is long? Why didn't God give us an exact measurement? Why didn't he give us how many inches? Because here's why. If he said, well, you know, it's 9 inches is the length, then you know you'd have a bunch of guys with 8 3/4 inch hair and a bunch of women with 9 1/4 inch hair, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. See, the whole point is that men are, and look, men, you don't have to have your hair as short as mine. Obviously, mine's very short. You don't have to be this short, but you're really short. Yeah. But anyway, you know, you just want to have short hair where people would just look at it and just clearly say, it's short. If you have to wonder, like, is this short? Then get a haircut. And the same thing with the ladies. How long? Well, you know, just make it long. Make it to where we can see it and say, that's long hair. And you say, well, what about in between? Nobody should have in between hair. How about that? How about there's like this DMZ of hair length that nobody has? Right? Like you have short hair, and then like this is a no man's land, no woman's land. And then you got long hair. Because what's the point, folks? Look, I'm not going to go through my life trying to figure out how far can I push God's rules and still technically be in compliance. I'd rather just roll out of bed every day, put on a men's garment, have short hair, and go out into the world, and everybody instantly knows that I am Mr. Anderson and not Mrs. Anderson. Instantly. Now, that's point number one. But point number two is that pants are mentioned in the Bible. Go to Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. Because one objection you'll get is, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I showed you in the New Testament where God still teaches that he wants the genders to look different, different hair. Obviously, that's the same thing as different clothes. He wants us to look different. But another objection is, they'll say, well, the Bible doesn't mention pants. I've even heard some people say this, pants weren't invented yet. Which is so ridiculous because, you know, pants aren't exactly the theory of special relativity, folks. I mean, how hard is it to come up with pants? It's a piece of fabric on each leg. I'm pretty sure that had been invented a long time ago. But they'll say, well, pants hadn't even been invented yet. Everybody just wore a robe. So they just want us to believe everybody's just naked with a robe on. Just working, battling, traveling. It's nonsense. Okay. But look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. It says, Exodus 28, 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So when the priests are getting their clothing laid out for them and God's describing what clothing they're supposed to wear, he says that the priests are supposed to wear linen breeches. And breeches, maybe you're not familiar with that word. It's just an old word for pants. You've heard of people being too big for their breeches, okay? But breeches are pants. Now, I've heard some people say, no, Pastor Anderson, that's not talking about pants. And I think even some of the modern versions change this to underwear. It's underwear. And let me check the ESV. Or can you check the ESV for me? We're in Exodus 28, 42. Because I'm pretty sure that they changed this. You want to check this for me in the NIV, the non-inspired version? But while they're checking that, flip over to... Yeah, so ESV changes this to linen undergarments. NIV, undergarments. Here's what's so dumb about this. Undergarments. So did you notice the under? Okay, what does the Bible say that this garment's used for? To cover. Now, somebody explain to me how something that's under is a covering. Can somebody explain that? Typically, a cover goes over something, doesn't it? If I put a cover on my car, do I put it under the car? Cover me, I'm going in. Get under me. Hey, a covering is something that goes over. So the verse is contradicting itself in their dumb version where they're like, oh, undergarments to cover their nakedness. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, let's all start wearing our underwear on the outside as a covering. To cover our nakedness, like Superman or something, with our underwear on the outside. The Bible is talking about the breeches covering your nakedness. It's because they're on the outside. Because guess what's under the breeches? Your nakedness. Guess what they're covering? Your nakedness. But if they were under something and we never saw them, then they would not be needed to cover your nakedness. See, here's the thing. I could go 14,000 times without wearing underwear, and nobody would even know it. Who would even know? Because you don't see people's underwear, do you? Well. You don't? Well, yeah, nowadays you do. Yeah, you're right. Okay, before the hip-hop culture, you didn't see people's underwear. I'm saying you're not supposed... Yeah, see, people in 2020, they don't get this preaching. Because they're like, well, I see people's underwear every day. Well, guess what? When I was growing up, you didn't see people's underwear. You never saw anyone's underwear, because that's why it's called underwear. Okay. And by the way, we're not a member of the Bible of the Month Club around here. We believe in the King James Bible. So we don't surf all the Bibles to get the opinion that we want. We believe breeches means breeches, and breeches are a pair of pants. Okay. So he's telling them to wear linen pants to cover their nakedness. You know what's covering my nakedness right now? Pair of pants.
That's what it's talking about, okay? Now, these particular pants, the Bible says, reach from the loins to the thighs, so we would call these shorts, right? So these particular breeches are knee-length breeches. Sometimes in historical writing, you'll see these called knee breeches. That's actually a word, knee breeches, where they'll wear their pants down to here. And you remember like in the 1700s or something, they'd wear the pants that go down to their knees, and then they'd have like stockings pulled up and fancy shoes and whatever. In French, you'll sometimes see these as culottes, right? And they'll have culottes or culottes where they would have knee-length pants, okay? That's what these are. Look at chapter 39, verse 28. Let me hurry through some of these. Exodus 39, 28, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen. Go, if you would, to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. While you're turning to Daniel chapter 3, Leviticus 6:10 says, the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes, and so forth. Leviticus 16:4, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle. And a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. So he gives a rundown of the holy garments. And what have you got? You got a hat. You got a coat. You got breeches. And that's the outfit. And a girdle, right? Which is like a belt. That makes sense. I mean, what? It's not really that different from what I'm wearing right now. Because I got a coat. And I got breeches, and I got a belt, and I got this shirt on, and I got a tie on, right? But the basic components are there of the breeches, the coat, you know, and so forth. So this makes sense. It's a man's garment. Ezekiel 44:18, they shall have linen bonnets upon their heads. They shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, for those of you that speak German, you know Hosen means pants. English is a Germanic language. German and English used to be the same language. And then they drifted apart as languages do, just like Spanish and Italian drifted apart, or Spanish and Portuguese. Well, English and German have drifted apart. So back when the Bible was put in the King James Version in 1611, the word Hosen was still in use for a type of pants, whereas we don't use that anymore. But it's just an archaic word for pants. Now, here's what's interesting. Pants are mentioned in the Bible 6 times. And every single time, it's a man that's wearing them. 100% of the time. And by the way, 6 is the number in the Bible that represents man. Man is created on the 6th day. The Antichrist number is the number of a man, 666. And so a 6 represents manhood. And we've got what? 6 mentions of men wearing pants. No mentions of women wearing pants. Okay, the next point I want to make, number 3, and if you would, flip over to Job chapter 38. Number 3, only men in the Bible gird up their loins. Only men in the Bible gird up their loins. Now, what does this mean to gird up your loins? Well, pay attention. I'm going to read for you some verses while you're turning to Job and see if you can figure out what girding up your loins is. 2 Kings 4:29 says, then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. So when Elisha is sending Gehazi, and he tells him to gird up his loins, he also says, go to this child that's dead. And he says, don't say hi to anybody. And if anybody says hi to you, ignore them. Why would he tell them to not say hi to people and ignore people that greet him? What's the essence of what he's telling him to do? Go fast. Yeah, hurry up. Go fast. Get there. Well, guess what? Girding up your loins is part of that. He's like, hey, gird up your loins. Rush over there. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Okay. 2 Kings 9:1 says, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said to him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And again, it's haste that is the idea here. Hurry up, get there, go quick, gird up your loins to do that. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And then the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Okay. Now look down at your Bible in Job 38, verse 3. Job 38, verse 3 says, gird up now thy loins like a man. So we see that girding up the loins is something specific to men. It's something that men do. You gird up your loins like a man girds up his loins, as opposed to a woman that does not gird up her loins, okay? All of the examples, and again, you have six examples of girding up the loins, all men, okay? Look at verse 7 of chapter 40. Go to Job chapter 40, verse 7. Job chapter 40, verse 7 says, gird up thy loins now, like a man I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. So what does it mean to gird up the loins? Now, we know what a girdle is, right? A girdle in the Bible is a belt. Being girt, the Bible talks about having your loins girt about with truth. So the modern versions will say like the belt of truth or whatever. So girding up your loins has to do with the fact that men in those days, in Bible times, it often talks about them wearing a long coat, like we saw earlier. They'll have a long coat. And this type of a long coat, if you tried to run with it, or do some kind of serious work or something, it could end up getting tangled or getting caught on something. You know, it'd be like if you went to work as an electrician or a carpenter or a plumber or something, and you're wearing like a long duster or a trench coat some kind of a long coat. You know, you could see how it could cause a lot of problems and get caught up on things, or that running in that would not necessarily be the best running attire. So when he tells them to gird up their loins, they'd basically take the bottom of that garment and basically tuck it in to their belt to get it out of the way so that their legs are free to run without being encumbered by that long garment. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So you have a long garment, and then you would gird that up, put it up into your girdle so that you could run or whatever and be in a hurry. You're ready for action. You know, you're ready to fight. You know, you could picture like a gunslinger in the Old West. And what does he do? You know, before the quick draw, he takes this and like buttons it. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who's ever seen that? The gunslinger like buttons this up here so that this is like ready so that he can, you know, do the quick draw or whatever. You know, you think of like, you know, these martial artists or whatever in some Asian movie, some kung fu movie or something, and they have like kind of a flowing garment or something, and they take that off before they do the fight scene or whatever, right? Did everybody kind of picture that? You know, they're getting rid of anything that's loose and hanging and flowing. Well, these guys that are going on a long trip, they bring their coat with them because they sleep in their coat like a sleeping bag, you know, when it's cold, and they need it for in the evening when it gets cold. They're bringing it with them, and they're running. Folks, in the ancient world, most people aren't riding horses. Horses are expensive and hard to take care of. Rich people have horses. Throughout the Bible, we see a lot of walking and a lot of running. And you don't want to carry a bunch of excessive gear. You don't necessarily want to carry a big sleeping bag. If you're in a fairly warm place, you just have your coat and you bring that. And that's why Jesus said, you know, hey, don't bring two coats. Just one coat when he sends them out preaching and so forth. So the idea is that the reason that you gird up your loins like a man is because let's say a man girds up his loins. Is he naked underneath?
No.
He's got pants on. So there's no issue, right? So his long coat is there, but all he has to do, or if he's wearing a robe or whatever you want him to be wearing, if he lifts it up and tucks it in, he's got a pair of pants on, so there's no issue with girding up his loins. But because a woman is wearing a skirt or a dress, if she girds up her loins, she'd be naked from the waist down, and so therefore it'd be inappropriate for her to just, you know, all right, ride up my skirt and let's go. That's why girding up the loins is something specific to men. That's why the Bible says, gird up your loins like a man. Like a man, because that's a man would do that because he's got pants underneath. But today, Bible teachers and scholars and theologians expect us to believe that everybody in the Bible was that guy in Central Park with a trench coat on and no pants.
That's what they're teaching.
Oh, men didn't wear pants.
And then these same people turn around and say, how dare you teach women not to wear pants? They are not going to be able to do anything.
Right.
Who's heard that argument? Well, if you tell women they can't wear pants, how are they going to do anything? They can't do anything. Okay, well then, how do people do things in the Bible? You're claiming none of them wore pants. How'd they build empires and ride horses and farm and fight and do it? It's like, which one is it, folks? You can't have it both ways. The same people that tell you, women can't do anything in a skirt, are the same ones that are going to tell you, everybody in the Bible wore a skirt. Nothing happened until recently. Now, here's the thing about this. I have a wife, and I have daughters, and guess what? They do everything in skirts and dresses, and they ride horses, they go on roller coasters, they go swimming, they do everything no problem. And isn't it amazing how they do it all in skirts and dresses their whole lives with no issue? Every single activity, there's a way to do it, and there's no issue. Now, here's an objection to this. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Man, I got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 31 is an objection. They'll say, well, no, women gird up their loins also. Look at Proverbs 31. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 17. It says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. What word's missing there? There's no up there. She girds her loins with strength. Well, here's the thing. The Bible frequently talks about people girding their loins. Have your loins gird about with truth. That's just talking about wearing a belt or wearing a sash. And just like in the Bible, you have the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, loins gird about with truth. Well, this woman basically, you know, she girds her loins with strength. It's sort of like the whole armor for her is like, instead of girding with truth, she's girding her loins with strength. But this is not girding up her loins like a man. This is not her lifting anything up and tucking it into her girdle or tucking it into her loins. So that is just wrong. This is not an example of girding up the loins. Now flip over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you this verse. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now what does that mean? The landmark was used in order to separate one person's property from someone else's. You know, this is back before GPS and back before really good maps and topography. So I've got a field and you've got a field. How do I know where my field ends and yours begins? There's a landmark. And it could typically be like a giant boulder or a big pile of rocks or something. Something that's there that says, this is the border. Moving the landmark would be something that you would slowly do over time. And in Job, he says, some remove the landmarks. And he talks about people moving the landmark. And what you do is, like, if you just moved it a couple inches each year, you're, like, slowly gaining property and your neighbor's losing property. It'd be like if you kept moving your fence and it just kept getting over on your neighbor's property. And some neighbors do that, right? They build a fence a few inches onto your property, sort of like, you know, Israel and Palestine, but that's another sermon. So here's the thing. We don't want to move the ancient landmark of the line between right and wrong, good and evil, male and female, okay? So let me do an illustration here. Come on up here, Daniel. And Raymond, come on up here. So here's the way it works, okay? Basically, come on back here so everybody can see better. Basically, here's the idea, okay? This represents what's right, okay? This represents what the world thinks is right. This is like what's actually right. This is what the world thinks is right, the world standards. And then this is where Christians are, right? So I'm Christian. So here's where I should be. I should be over here with this guy, right? Like, hey, I'm going to stick with what's right. It's what the Bible says, right and wrong. Now, here's the thing. He and I are a certain distance apart right now, okay? We're socially distancing right now. This is 6 feet apart, okay? Now, here's the thing. The world gets worse and worse. They get weirder and weirder. So that's where he was in, say, 1981 when I was born. Is he going to stay there? No, he's going to get a little weirder, okay? And he's going down, lower, okay. So here's the thing. What a lot of Christians do is they move with him. Now, they're not going to go all the way to where he's at. That's way too weird, okay? But what they do is they say, well, we're still 6 feet apart, okay? And then he gets even weirder.
And then I get a little weirder. And then he gets, and it's just like, do you see what's happening here? We're moving the landmark. And then you call out Christians and say, hey, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. That's not godly. And here's what they say. Well, look how different I am from the world. Look at this 6 feet of difference. I mean, what's the big deal? I'm separated. I'm holy. I'm sanctified because you know what? I'm not like that guy. But what happens is, notice I'm standing now exactly where he was standing in the past. Do you notice that? So now the Christians of today are in some ways like the worst, most worldly people of the past, but they still think they're righteous because hey, I'm not as bad as that guy. But do you see how if I use the world as my standard and say, well, as long as I'm more righteous than them, I just get worse and worse. And folks, go ahead and have a seat, guys. And by the way, that's what's happening politically. Like the Republicans now are like the Democrats from when I was a kid. You know, the Democrats from when my dad was a kid are like more conservative than the Republicans now or whatever. Because it's just that they always stay a distance apart and there's just a shifting that's going on. So I don't want to follow the world's standards. You know, I'd rather just stay put. No matter how far, just let him keep going. And then people are like, oh man, you're crazy, you're weird, look how far you are from that guy. It's not my fault that guy just keeps going. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't move that ancient limber. And look, let me give you a little history lesson. 100 years ago in this country, it was illegal for women to wear pants. Did you know that? So I'm up here in 2020, I'm a lunatic, I'm the Taliban, for saying women shouldn't wear pants. I'm preaching this in a church, but even in the secular world, women were arrested for wearing pants in the early 20th century. Okay, how about this? My dad, going to school in the 60s in Los Angeles, California, guess what women weren't allowed to wear to school? In the 1960s in Los Angeles, California, they were not allowed to wear pants, not allowed to wear shorts. They had to wear knee-length skirts and dresses in public school in Hollywood, California in the 60s. But I'm supposed to believe that God's just perfectly fine with women in pants and shorts and that it's just normal and that anybody who says it's wrong is crazy. Well, isn't it interesting how for the first 350 years or 400 some years in this country, people had this figured out? You know, all the way to 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, and most of the 1900s, this is no issue. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, how do you know that pants are even men's clothing? Because I put it on 14,000 times. And on the 14,000th first time, I was like, whoa, I think this is what I'm supposed to be wearing. And so you can see how things drift. Okay, now let's move on to my fourth point. And here's a real controversial point in 2020. We said, number one, God wants men and women to look differently. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't that obvious? Amen. Number two, pants are mentioned in the Bible. Are they mentioned or not? Okay. Number three, only men in the Bible gird up their loins. Well, the implication is men have something on underneath and women don't. That's why you gird it like a man. Number four, here's the controversial point. Buckle up. There's only two genders. I know this is real controversial now, but there are only two genders. See, only one amen in the whole auditorium. No, I'm just kidding. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Watch this. Male and female and it's just male and female created he them. I've got a bombshell for you this morning. Every single person on this planet is either male or female. There, I said it. God only created two genders, male and female. Okay, Genesis 5:2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. Now, you know what's funny is that today the liberals and the degenerates of our day, they love to say that science is their religion, don't they? You know, well, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. I don't believe in the Bible, I believe in science. Aren't they big on science? Yeah. Yeah. But here's what's interesting. They don't want to hear what science says about gender at all. All of a sudden, they don't want to hear about science when it comes to abortion. They don't want to hear about science when it comes to the sodomite death style. Well, let's talk science. You know, you guys want to talk science? I love science. Well, let me explain something to you about human beings. Human beings, their gender is genetic, okay? Genetics determine your gender, okay? I'm not going to go too complicated. This is going to be real simple. Everybody's going to understand this, okay? You get a sex chromosome from your mom and from your dad, okay? Now, your mom has two X's, okay? She gives you one of them. Your dad has an X and a Y. He gives you one. If he gives you an X, you're female, because you have an X and an X, that makes you a female, right? If your dad donates a Y, you have an X and a Y. You're male. Any questions? Everybody got this so far? So every man here is XY, and every woman is XX. Now, you say, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson. What about people who are mutant, or they have some kind of a genetic defect, or hermaphrodites, or, you know, that people bring up all this stuff? Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Well, let's talk about these genetic defects. And this comes from, the scientific term for this would be non-disjunction during meiosis. And the most common type of this is Down syndrome. So we're just talking about genetic defects in general, right? So Down syndrome, 1 in 800 people will be Down syndrome, right? One in 800 human beings will be Down syndrome, or at least in the inception. And that's because there's a certain chromosome that ends up, it's supposed to split into two, and it accidentally splits into three. Whoa, there's a problem, right? Down syndrome is the result. 1 in 800. Well, what if the exact same thing happens on one of your gender chromosomes, the X or the Y? What if instead of two, you get three? Or what if instead of two, you get one, right? You get a defect. Well, these are the, I'm going to give you the possible defects. Don't tune out. This is going to be quick and painless. Okay, well, there's one defect like that called Turner's syndrome. And this is where a woman, instead of getting an X and an X, she just ends up with just an X. Only one. Instead of two, she gets only one. Well, this is what that type of woman is going to be like. She's going to be broad-shouldered, sterile, meaning she can't have children, and short. And this is about 1 in 6,000 times this will take place. Remember, Down syndrome was 1 in 800? This is 1 in 6,000. Now, here's what MayoClinic.org says. Turner syndrome, a condition that affects only females, results when one of the X chromosomes is missing or partially missing. Turner syndrome can cause a variety of medical and developmental problems, including short height, failure of the ovaries to develop, and heart defects. Intelligence is usually normal in females with Turner syndrome. Okay? So notice, it's still a female, right? One X or an X and a partial, it's only female. Still female. They're just shorter. They have like maybe shoulders as broad as Michelle Obama's, and they're sterile and whatever. Okay. But then there's another defect where instead of having a single X, they have a triple X. Okay. Now don't Google this because, you know, the wrong things will come up. It's not going to be a genetics website. Okay. So I didn't Google this one. I had to look it up in a biology textbook. And basically, it's these women are, if they have the triple X, they're tall and thin with irregularities with their monthly cycle, but that's it. And this is about 1 in 1,500. Instead of two X's, they have three X's, right? Okay. Then we have what's called Klinefelter's syndrome. And this is where a man, instead of having XY, he ends up with XXY. He gets two X's and a Y. So here's how he ends up. He ends up with smaller reproductive organs. He's sterile. And he's going to have a little bit of breast development. But listen to this. Men with Klinefelter usually don't know they have it until they run into problems having a child. Because how many dudes just have a little bit of a whatever here anyway? Man whatevers, you know? Who knows what I'm talking about? I mean, you know. And by the way, drinking beer gives you man boobs, by the way. Just
That's true. Because of the hops and the phytoestrogen mimickers and stuff, you know, you drink beer, it can give you a little bit of a saggy chest like that. Okay. But here's the thing. These dudes are still a dude. They got XXY. Still a dude. They've got Klinefelter syndrome. They go through their whole life sometimes not even realizing that there's an issue until they just thought they were a little chubby or whatever. It's not a big deal. Lots of guys are a little chubby. Doesn't mean that they have something wrong with their genetics. And then they end up going to have kids and boom, it's like, I can't have kids, can't have kids. Hey, let's go down to the fertility clinic. It's like, whoa, you have Klinefelter's. You have an XXY chromosome. You can't produce offspring. And then there's another even more rare situation where they have three X's and one Y. Still male. Does everybody understand what I'm saying so far? I don't think this is too complicated. Then there's another condition where you can get an XYY. Instead of XY, you're XYY. And these guys are abnormally tall. They have bad acne and higher testosterone levels. And it's controversial whether or not they have a slightly lower IQ, but their brain is pretty much totally normal. Okay. Okay, so that's it, folks. There we go. I believe I hit everything here. Okay, so that's it. Your genes today, every person's genes on this planet are one of those things that I just mentioned. They're either XY, XX, or in these more rare cases, XXY, XYY, X alone, or XXX. Folks, these are clearly, if you have a Y in it, it's male. Every single time, if there's a Y, it's male. Any questions? If there's no Y, it's female. That's it. Done. Now, there are other diseases or abnormalities or issues where, let's say, a woman's pregnant and something goes wrong in the pregnancy where her child, who is genetically, biologically male, doesn't get hit with the right dose of testosterone at the right time in the womb, and he could grow up deformed or having hormonal problems or, you know, having underdeveloped reproductive organs, or women could get hit with the wrong hormone and have overdeveloped reproductive organs. But let me tell you something, my friend. Every single person on this planet, in every cell of their body, is either male or female. And, you know, this actress or whatever this week that just became a dude this week and said, my name's Elliot now. And what's so stupid is that, like, now you go to her Wikipedia page, and it's just everything's he, him, him, he. And it just acts like she's been a dude her whole life. Wow. He acted in this movie. He was in this movie. And it's a picture of a woman. He. So let me ask you something. Who's crazy this morning? Is Pastor Anderson crazy, or is the world that accepts Elliot crazy? Who's crazy? Is it me or Elliot, folks? Who's crazy? And you know, who believes in science, me or Elliot? Because you know what? All I have to do is go dig in Elliot's trash and get a soda can or a cigarette butt or something. I can take it down to the police station and go to the forensics lab and check the DNA. And you know what we're going to know right away? We're going to know that Elliot's a female. And it doesn't matter what cell of her body we harvest that DNA from, it's going to be just female, 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 female. Okay? God created two genders, my friend. And don't give me this garbage, well, you fundamental Christians, you just don't know science. No, the idiots out there that say that there's three genders don't know science. Right. Or five genders. Yeah, maybe in some bacteria there's a bunch of different genders. But in human beings, there's only two, my friend. God created man in his own image, and then he created them to be male and female. The Bible is right, amen, and they're wrong. Amen. It's male and female, two genders. That's what science says. And if you actually read any real science book, that's what they'll tell you. But in our world today, it's not about science. It's just about being against the Word of God. So when science is against the Word of God in their mind, they'll rally behind that. But you know what? When science confirms the Word of God, which all real science confirms the Word of God, you know, they don't want to talk about that, do they? I got to hurry up. I'm almost done. But if you would, flip over to Luke chapter 17. Actually, I'm sorry. Go to Matthew 19. Go to Matthew 19. I want to finish on this point here. What does the Bible say about these people that are XYY, XXY, all these different genetic disorders? And make no mistake, this is a genetic disorder. It's a problem. It's a mistake. It's just like Down syndrome is a problem. Okay? It's an issue. Now look, obviously God allows these things to happen for His glory. You know, God allows people to be born with Down syndrome for His glory. He has a reason. He has a purpose. And look, we've had people with Down syndrome in our church. We've had people in our church that had Down syndrome go out soul winning. Amen. And win people to Christ. You know, and especially with today's technology and information, you know, a lot of people with Down syndrome could be pretty highly functioning in today's world. And they can actually live pretty normal lives. Sometimes they can even like drive a car. And I mean, it's pretty wild. The advances that have been made. But here's the thing. God allowed that person with Down syndrome to be born with Down syndrome. When I say it's a mistake, or it's the same thing as if someone was born blind, it's not a good thing. Right. Nobody's like, oh, I really hope I have a child that's born deaf or blind or, you know, with some kind of a genetic defect. Nobody wants that for their child, right? But here's the thing. If we had a child like that, we would love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would thank God for it. We would praise God for it. And God would use it in our lives, and all things will work together for good. Right. Just like the guy who was born blind, God said, well, this guy was born blind for God's glory. Amen. You know, so there's a reason why. So look, let's say someone is born with this genetic defect that makes them develop abnormally in regard to their gender. God still loves that person. God created that person that way for a reason. They're still a human being that, you know, can live a life that could be blessed by God. And they're either male or female. Okay? It's no issue. But look what the Bible says. Some of these people could be so deformed that they cannot reproduce whatsoever, or can't have a normal marital relationship. What does the Bible say in Matthew 19:12? It says, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. Isn't that what we're talking about? Yeah. Because a eunuch in the olden days was where people would take a slave and they would castrate them, and that's called a eunuch. So the Bible's saying there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb. He's talking about somebody who's born deformed in that way. And then he says, there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And obviously, he's not saying that they mutilated themselves. What he's saying is that they basically have remained unmarried and remained celibate. That's all he's saying. Okay, last point is this, and I got to hurry for sake of time. Just go to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to have to skip Luke 17. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The last point I want to make is that today in 2020, with all the insanity and craziness out there, we need more distinction in the genders, not less. Did you hear me? We need more distinction in the genders, not less. Explain this to me. If for decades, independent fundamentalist Baptist churches have always taught women wear skirts and dresses, men wear pants. That's how it was when I was a child, teenager, young adult. That's what the independent fundamental Baptists have always stood strong on that. And they said, we're not changing on this. We're not backing down on this. And, you know, we don't care what the world does. We've always stood on this and we're not changing. We're staying with it. Okay. Why would now be the time for fundamental Baptist churches to back down on this? Think about that. So in the 80s, it's like, hold. Hold. 90s, hold. 2000, hold, and then all of a sudden now it's just like, who cares? It's not a big deal. It's just a preference. Now, hold on a second. Why now? Folks, back in the 80s, I went through the entire decade of the 80s without ever seeing a homo in real life. Not even one that I knew about. You know, I went through most of the 90s without even seeing a homo. They didn't even hardly exist. They were all in the closet. You didn't know about it. It was something that was a shameful thing. And even then, the preachers are up saying, hey, women wear skirts and dresses. They wanted it to be. They said, hey, men, get a haircut. Don't wear long hair. Have short hair. Wear pants. And back in the 80s. Now, did we need that preaching in the 80s? Yeah. Did we need it in the 90s? Yeah. But do we need it now less or more? When today, we've got all the, you know, you go to sign up for anything now. Male, female, I'd rather not say. Male, female, other. And I think, I don't know if Facebook still did this, but I remember at one point Facebook rolled out, was it 75 genders? Yeah. Wow.
73.
It was like 73 options under gender. Because there's a cis male and a cis female and a gender queer, gender fluid. Anyone can name all 73? I've only come up with 5 or 6. But there were literally, I remember at the time looking at it and scrolling down, and I'm just like. But folks, that's not from biology. It didn't come from science. And it didn't come from the Word of God. So if it didn't come from science, it didn't come from the Word of God, why should I believe in it? It's stupid. It's perverse. It's weird. It's confusion. And so today, I feel like, if anything, I want to dress more like a man than ever. And you as ladies should really want to be as feminine as possible at this time and not want to be part of this confused society that we're living in. It's not of God. God does not look down and see all the people dressed the same and think, I'm well pleased. God wants there to be a distinction and a difference, okay? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind." Now, some people will try to twist this effeminate into being a homo or something. Folks, effeminate is not a homo. You know what effeminate is? Effeminate is a man who is feminine. That's what it means. Okay, God says here that it's a sin to be effeminate. He's listing sins. He's listing adultery, idolatry, fornication, and effeminacy. Okay? Being effeminate is wrong. Okay, well, listen to me. The Bible is often written from a male perspective. That's often how it's written. You know, most of the authors are male, and all of the authors are probably male. Of course, some of the books are anonymous, but, you know, most of the authorship is for sure male. You know, most of the characters are male. It's just, obviously, you got to be able to kind of flip things over, my friend. So if God's saying men shouldn't be effeminate, don't you think he would also say that women shouldn't be butch? Or do you think he's just saying, well, I just said for men. Like, I literally had somebody tell me, because the Bible said, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. They said, well, we're supposed to discipline our sons, but not our daughters, because it says son. It's like, well, when the Bible's telling you to discipline your son, isn't it kind of obvious that he's also telling you to discipline your daughter? You know, because like I said, some things are written from a male perspective. You're supposed to extrapolate and be like, okay, obviously, you know, if when he says man or son, obviously you're supposed to apply that across the board. You know, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But if you're a woman and you think you stand, it's great. It's dumb, right?
Okay.
Obviously it applies. So if God says don't be effeminate, then wouldn't it stand to reason that women shouldn't be masculine?
Yes.
That women shouldn't be butch? And, you know, look, don't get a flat top, women. You know, don't get a flat top. Don't put on pants. Don't be a tomboy. Be feminine. Be a girl. Be a woman, right? Celebrate femininity. The Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now look, I believe I've put forth some pretty strong evidence this morning, a pretty compelling case for why women should not wear pants. Now, look, you can go out of here and say, well, I don't agree with that, and you know, I'm still going to keep doing it, and I think Pastor Anderson's wrong. You know what? That's fine, because you know what? You do what you want. I'm not the one that is going to, you know, dictate your wardrobe. But I will dictate my family's wardrobe. And my daughters are not allowed to wear pants. And the thing is that you can sit there and say, well, I don't agree with this, but hold on a second. Just realize, though, that even our sinful world agreed with this until 50 years ago. Okay, that's not that long ago, folks. And that 100 years ago, it was just completely beyond the pale for women to put on pants. It was considered scandalous. And so some people change and some don't. Some people are just going to keep drifting with the times. But you know what? Some of us are just drawing a line at some point and just saying, you know what? With all the gender confusing garbage that's going on, you know, I'm going to stick with the old-fashioned men in pants, women in skirts and dresses. The Bible talks about men wearing pants. The Bible says for a woman, and again, the strongest piece of evidence is this. The woman should not wear that which pertains to a man. There has to be some garment that pertains to a man. And if it's not pants, then what is it? Use the process of elimination. It's pants. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And, you know, I believe that it's a sin for women to wear pants. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, if I run into ladies from our church out in pants or something, you know what? That's none of my business. I don't care. But it's my job to get up and preach the truth from the Bible this morning. You can take it or leave it. I don't confront women I see at Trader Joe's in pants. I'd be like, what kind of an abomination? You know, look, but you know what? What I'm preaching this morning is the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
So you take it or he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and we are living in some crazy, strange times, Lord. I think everyone would agree, even people that are offended by this sermon would agree that we're living in an insane time when it comes to gender, Lord. And so I pray that, Lord, every single person that's under the sound of my voice would want to live up to the spirit of your law and say, you know what? It's time to dress like a lady. It's time to dress in a way that's distinctly feminine. And Lord, help us as men not to wear effeminate clothing as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.